Hello and welcome. It's good to be with you, and I hope these times together are a blessing and an encouragement for you both in your day and also in your walk with the Lord. And as we have this time together with Him, let's seek Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this morning and for this day. Lord God, your love for us and for calling us into yourself and desiring for us to know you. Father, open our minds and our hearts, Lord, to see you, to know you better, to be able to experience you more in this time and through this day, Lord, in our walk. Be with us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember the children's blessing that starts off, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food? We all smile when we hear children say that, and we think, isn't that sweet, isn't that good? And yet the reality is, those are fundamental truths. Those are life-changing truths. That's solid theology. And if we truly contemplated what is there, it's amazing the way that that would change our life, our living. It would change our outlook on the circumstances we find ourselves in today. In fact, that's exactly the thought that we see in Psalm 8. That's what David was inspired to write. And you think about what David wrote in this psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes you have established strength because of your adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you've made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. As David was inspired to write this psalm, he begins it really the same way that we begin that children's blessing, talking about the greatness of God. And you think about how the greatness of God is brought out in this psalm. And I want us to look at it working our way up, not so much sequentially the way it's described here in the psalm, but working our way up, if you will. For notice that we see the greatness of God in verse 2 as it's seen among men. Again, verse 2. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. God's greatness is seen among men, but look specifically at which men it is seen among. God does not desire glory from those who are rich or powerful or influential. He does, but that's not where he seeks his greatest glory. God deliberately chooses the small and the weak to give him honor and glory, because it's in them that his honor and glory is the most seen. You may recall that our Lord actually quoted this after he had made what we refer to as his triumphal entry and had gone to the temple, and the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests began to criticize him because the children were praising him. He quoted this psalm unto them to show that it was from the weak and the small that God's greatest glory can be seen. You recall that Paul made this same principle, this same point, in relation to salvation, where he wrote over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Think of what he wrote in verses 26 through 28. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so he may nullify the things that are. You know, we're in the middle of an election year, and in most normal election years, candidates try to find endorsements from influential people or influential groups or big-name people. Our God is so great that he doesn't need the recommendation from and the endorsement from the powerful and the influential, or at least those that we think are. Our God is so great that he seeks the endorsement from the small, the weak, the despised, so that his glory can be seen all the more. And you think of the logic of that. Who can give anything to God? And so God's greatness is seen among men, even among the weakest, as Paul described the foolish, most undesirable. God's glory is so great that it is seen even among them, and from them the most. But not only is it seen among men, but notice again, we're going to work our way up, but it's also seen in the heavens. You think of what we read in verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. You think of the beauty of this creation, whether it's in the morning or in the evening or at night with the stars and the planets. When you think of all that God has created, you think of the various probes that we've sent out in space. And the further we go out, the more that we see that there is to see. And you think about how all that just gives honor and testimony as to how great God is, just the sheer size and the beauty of it. And yet the amazing truth of it is, as we read in this verse, is the work of your fingers. This vast creation, it's like needlework for God. It's like crochet for God. It's like a fly fisherman who enjoys tying his flies, that tiny little finger work. This vast creation, from horizon to horizon, from as far as we can see in any direction in the universe, it's like finger work for God. And yet God's greatness is not only seen in the heavens, working our way up, God's glory and his greatness is actually seen above the heavens. Think of what we read in verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. Far above all this is, in fact, the glory, the throne, the sovereignty, the rule, the reign of Almighty God. How great he is, greater than we can ever comprehend. And yet we need to try to comprehend him as much as our finite minds can. Because the greater or the clearer our understanding is of the greatness of God, the more clearly that we see him. And the greater appreciation we have of the grace that he has shown in bringing weak, small, finite little sinners like you and me into his presence, into an eternal relationship with him. One of the weaknesses that we have in our generation is that in order to try to make God appealing, if you will, we've almost tried to lower him from his greatness, or we've almost tried to diminish his greatness. And what we do when we do that is we actually create a God who doesn't exist. It's only when we see him as clearly as we can in his greatness and in his glory do we see the God for who he is. And do we truly appreciate the grace he has shown in bringing us to himself? And not only that, but it also increases our ability to trust him. Because the clearer that we see God's greatness and power, the smaller our problems become. You may be dealing with some great, tremendous issue in your life right now, and it seems huge unto you, large, insurmountable. No way to get around, no way to get beyond. You want to bring that problem down to size? Look at how great God is. Because no matter what you're going through, and I'm not trying to belittle it or diminish it, but the greater you see God, the smaller your problem will become. That children's blessing is absolutely, absolutely correct. God is great. But not only do we see the greatness of God, but notice as well, we see the goodness of God. And that's seen in his love for us. Look at verses 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You know, a life-changing truth is the fact that this great God is beyond anything we can compare, anything that we can imagine or conceive. In this vast, beautiful creation, this God who rules and reigns over all, in all of this, believer, we are what he wants. We are what he desires. You are what he loves with an everlasting love. God's goodness is seen in his tremendous love for us. You think about how that's seen in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You and I, who know Jesus Christ, and if you don't, I invite you today to place your faith and trust in him for salvation, for deliverance from your sins, for adoption into his eternal family. And if you do know him this morning, his love for you has been forever proven at Calvary. All you have to do to think about about God's love for you is to think back on the gift of his Son. His goodness is seen in his love for us, but is also seen in his plan for us. You think of what we read in verse 5. Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. God created man for dominion over creation. That we lost that through the fall. But Christ lowered himself to that level. In fact, this is a messianic psalm, meaning it's a psalm that talks about the coming Messiah and the role that he would fill. And yet through him, we find out in the New Testament that our position that we once had will in fact be more than restored. 1 Corinthians 6:3 tells us that the day is coming when we will actually judge angels. You think about the tremendous plan that he has for us for all of eternity, the exalted position that we will have. How good he is to us. But we also see it in his call upon us. Look at verses 6 through 8. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. Obviously a continuation of what we just taught, but you think about the specific details there. And then you stop and you think about the specific details that he has upon his call upon our life. Because the reality is, believer, he has a calling for every one of us. The New Testament tells us that when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. He gifts us in a particular way, some particular calling. Then he gives us to a local fellowship so that gift can be used to the building up of that fellowship. He has a plan and a purpose for us. This great God has created us, recreated us through redemption, and equipped us to be part of his eternal plan. You have a role and a part to play in God's eternal plan for the ages. How good he is. Again, that children's blessing is absolutely correct. God is great, and God is good. What a God we have. Great and good. No wonder David concluded this psalm, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What a God we have. I hope through this day that you can experience him, that you see his greatness, and through that you're led to worship, you're led to trust, you're led to awe and wonder. And that when you think about his goodness for you, it just fills your heart and overfills your heart with how good he is and who he is, and that your life, your walk, your day has changed from seeing his greatness and his goodness. God is great. God is good. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, you are, O God, a God of greatness, greater than anything that we can comprehend. And, O Lord, we worship you. God, your goodness goes beyond our comprehension. Lord, we praise you and thank you. And, O Lord, open our eyes to see you, our hearts to know you, our wills to obey you, and, O God, in our lives to trust you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I hope you have a great day in the Lord.